It's Tuesday, and time to read from your emails and blog comments. Last week was the 50th anniversary of the Little Rock Nine, the day nine black students integrated Central High School in Arkansas. It got us talking about diversity and how important it should be, not just in schools, but in the rest of our lives as well. Chris Beard emailed us from Ohio to tell us, "My wife and I are middle-class Caucasian Americans who intentionally moved to a school district with Cincinnati's most diverse high school. Our kids love it, and we believe it's healthy and wise for our family all the way around. The end result is an experience that reflects America without sacrificing academics. Until people make intentional decisions to put their theory where their time, money, and kids are, we are simply being polite with our words while our actions perpetuate a racialized society." I completely disagree with this utopian dream of melting all races and cultures together, wrote another listener, Mark LaRue. Just view the world and history. People want to keep their cultures, insisting that it's a virtue to consciously force oneself or others to live with others who have vast differences and perhaps even secret resentments of you is self-destructive. This is playoff time again for Major League Baseball, and we had Bill Littlefield on last week to talk about his take on sports, big wins, disappointments, and his new book, Only a Game. As many of you pointed out, though, sports can sometimes be a lot more than just a game. Here's a note we got from Karen Biddle in Detroit, Michigan. "I've been a sports fan all my life, but I never understood the power of sports to bring people together until I moved to Detroit. This is a divided city, racially, economically, and geographically. But I'm sitting here with my Tigers t-shirt on, ready to go cheer our team through their last home game. And I know that all over the city, people of different backgrounds are wearing their t-shirts too. In a city where so many things divide us, I truly believe that sports bring us together in a way nothing else can." Certainly not text messaging anyway. At least that's the argument we heard a week ago from Natalie Moore, who laid down the ground rules for love in a time of texting. But there were plenty of listeners who find that text messages do bring them closer, including Annette, who emailed from Illinois. "Texting has actually improved the intimacy with my husband," she writes. "During the day, we send little notes to say that we're thinking of each other. Sometimes we text a joke or a bit of reassurance on a bad day. It's a nice pick-me-up when we are too busy. Plus, I can send him a grocery list in a pinch." And one last note. Of all the things we talked about last week, and that includes politics, race relations, gun control, based on your responses, the most divisive issue by far, should you take your dog with you to the grocery store? It was a pretty even split, but the responses were, let's just say, passionate. You can read some of them on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. As always, if you missed any of the shows, you can always download them online as a podcast. For information on that, just go to npr.org/talk. And if you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. Our address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Anthony Brooks.